now, it's time to sit back and enjoy the Two True Freaks Internet Radio Broadcast.
The prequel trilogy is over, and millions of fans are left without Star Wars.
No!
Enter a brave group of Jedi led by Dave Filoni, who brought tales of the Jedi, clone armies, and Mandalorians to Cartoon Network, thus keeping hope alive in the galaxy. Welcome to J-Guys and Jedi.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to J-Guys and Jedis, a bi-weekly podcast covering every episode of Star Wars The Clone Wars. And in this one, there will be Rex, and Rex, and more Rex, and other clones, but Rex, and Rex, and Rex, and Rex, and more Rex, and all the Rex. I'm so excited. We're talking about rookies.
It's a hyper-rexual episode of J-Guys and Jedis.
Oh my god, I love it. I'm so excited. I've been, like, waiting for us. I was like, okay, we're talking about the Malevolence arc. We're talking about Ambush. We're going through the movies. I'm just like, I want to get to Rex.
Hope is in Clone Wars Rextasy right now.
Yeah, take a drink. I'm so excited, Chris.
If you're offended by somebody getting excited about Rex, the Rex, it's over there.
Oh, I'm going to tell you guys now, this is, like, one of my... This is... Outside of the movie, this has been the most notes I've taken so far, and I'm going to be fangirling everywhere all in this episode. So if you don't want to hear me squealing, I would skip this episode, because I'm about to have a blast and a fangasm.
Yeah, don't. Maybe you might not want to have the volume up, or maybe not listen to this one on headphones. You might get some hearing damage.
Maybe I should scooch back from my microphone.
It's going to be like a Beatles concert in 1964.
What?
The Beatles concert in 1964, where, like, in Shea Stadium, the Beatles couldn't even hear themselves play over the shriek of
thousands of so loud Beatles. You could hear the Beatles.
Mm-hmm. Rex is your Beatles.
Oh yeah, no, he's my shiny star. I love him. Hearts, it's like he's my lucky charm. Like heart stars and horseshoes, clovers and blue moons, pots of gold and rainbows, and the red Rex balloon.
I just see Rex being the spokesman for Lucky Charms cereal rather than the leprechaun, and like the kids going over the Lucky Charms, and then a laser bolt like goes boom right at their feet, and Rex is standing there like, "You better back off them Lucky Charms. Keep your hands off them Lucky Charms.
I'd eat it.
I'll send you to hell.
I'll eat him. I'm Rex." Oh my god, I'm so excited. Okay, so rookies. Do you want to talk about rookies?
I am ready.
Oh, yes. Okay, so rookies is the fifth episode of Star. I have to, like, take a breath. Oh, I got so excited.
Yeah. Just
rookies.
Do you have a paper bag to breathe into in case you start feeling faint?
No, I always feel faint talking about Rex. Rookies is the fifth episode of Star Wars The Clone Wars. It was written by Stephen Melching, thank you again for tweeting us about how to say your name, and directed by Justin Ridge. It first aired on October 24th, 2008 on Cartoon Network, but later premiered again on TNT on February 25th, 2009. A fun episode fact, the original showing of this episode on Cartoon Network used the word hell twice as an explicit. During the replay on November 7, 2008, before Downfall of the Droid premiere, the word was censored due to complaints from parents. When it broadcast in Canada, neither CTV nor Space Network censored it. However, the series was rated 14A in Canada, which is roughly the equivalent of PG-13. During its showings on TNT, the word was not censored. However, the iTunes version was censored only once, and when I rewatched it on iTunes, it wasn't censored again. Not
weird.
iTunes, Netflix.
Weird. I noticed that in the version I watched, it had the hells in it, and I was just like, "Ah, oh, this is unusual." You know, it wasn't quite as odd as like seeing a hell or a damn like in a commercial, but in a cartoon, it kind of stands out. You know,
it's
not
hell
like Cartoon Network. That's not like Adult Swim or something like that.
Well, something we talked about was the fact that George Lucas set out for this to be a PG-13 show.
And I mean, let's face it; these guys are Space Marines. The hell is like. I mean, you have to have something. I mean, the only other thing I could think of that they would have to that they could have done is come up with space swearing, you know, that, you know, nerf herder.
Like Carabast.
Yeah.
Carabast. Yeah. That's what Zeb says in Rebels, Carabast.
Yeah. My brain always goes to Nerf Herder and Poodoo, which are two. Those are too silly for Marines. You know, they have to have some equivalent of like frack, you know.
Isn't Kriff one like K-R-I-F-F?
Isn't that what furries do when they have sex?
No, Kriff is a vulgar sling in Star Wars. Like, you're crooked as a Kriffing hut. Thanks, Wikipedia.
Okay, yeah. So, I mean, they should have their dialogue just liberally peppered with space swearing, because they're Marines.
Yeah,
especially when they're just sort of hanging out, you know?
I want to go Kripping with Rex.
Kripping with Rex.
Kripping.
With Hope. Kripping with Rex with Hope Mullinex.
It's going to happen.
Episode one, in which Hope finds her groove.
Oh, man. The only person I probably will... Like, Rex is, like, in my, like, probably top 10 favorite characters of all time from, like, any show. Like, he is my favorite Star Wars character of all time, but he's also, like, one of my favorite characters of all time. And, like, I think the only people I like more than Rex is, like, well, Scarlet from Once Upon a Time, but that's just because I have a huge uber crush on Michael Sokka, and we're actually literally going to have babies one day. Please don't tell him that. He follows me on Twitter. No one tell him that. Don't tell him I said that. But, like, you know, I'm like Bucky and the Avengers, and yeah. I love him.
Oh, so Civil War is gonna be just.
Oh my God! I'm gonna be dehydrated after Civil War because I'm gonna just be crying for 2 hours straight. I actually, little side note, 2 years ago when I went to 2D1 BeaconCon, it fell on the same weekend that Winter Soldier came out. So a group of us went to see Winter Soldier, and it was like just 12 girls, and we're all there, and all throughout the movie, we're all just like, just having a blast. And as the movie ended, we heard this guy behind us just being like, did you hear all that like annoying squealing? And all 12 of us just stood up and looked at him, and he was just like, oh.
You should have just squealed right at wee,
like Black Canary, like the canary call.
Yeah
No, but like, we almost beat this guy's ass because we were like, we're having fun. But yeah, oh my God. Like,
you got a problem with our girl gang?
Bucky was in the trailer more and said more in the trailer than he did in Winter Soldier. Like, I am so excited, but I also love Sebastian Stan. Sebastian Stan, please come back to Once Upon a Time because you're amazing as the Mad Hatter, and I love you. I love you.
Yeah, I always wonder why people get upset when people are enjoying themselves in public in a place where you're supposed to go to enjoy yourself.
I know.
I've been to concerts and had people go like, can you tell that guy to sit down? He's dancing. And it's just like, no.
Yeah, that actually has happened to me before.
Yeah, I actually had this like one girl trying to get her boyfriend to beat up my friend because he was dancing at a Bob Dylan concert. She's poking him in the back going, hey, asshole. Why are you standing? I can't see Bob Dylan. And I'm like, lady, why do you want to see Bob Dylan? You've just seen him for you've had an uninterrupted view for him for a half hour. Haven't you had enough?
Yeah, I got free tickets to an Idina Menzel concert. And so like when she started singing Defining Gravity, and I love Wicked, like I absolutely love Wicked. So she started singing Defining Gravity. And I stood up and I was just like, yay! And like just having such a fun time. And the guy behind me was like, excuse me, ma'am, can you sit down? I was just like, no, no.
Why don't you, here's an idea, why don't you stand up?
I just like ignored him. I was like, I'm not going anywhere.
Burn some calories at this concert. Come on. It's not TV.
Oh my God. I love Rex and Michael Sokka. If this was a Once Upon a Time podcast, I would just be talking like for 2 hours about the ways I love Michael Sokka and how I want to touch his eyebrows.
Well, can I rein you in for just 5 seconds? Because I want to before we get into this whole Rex thing explodes in our faces. Want to get my word of wisdom in?
Oh yes. So as always on Jagged and Jedi's, we bring you the words of wisdom from the beginning of the episodes, and this is by far our favorite so far.
Me. All right.
The best confidence builder is experience in bed.
Experience. Do you want to touch my lightsaber? Oh my god.
Are you experienced first?
This is gonna be a weird episode. I will build my confidence with you in bed.
Well, we're on to episode 6, and they've all been pretty weird so far, so...
Oh, God, this is going to be a hell of an episode. Okay, Act 1?
Act 1!
Rookies! I'm so excited. So, the Domino Skull... Let's try that again.
Take it easy.
No, it's not, and I wrote it, too.
Focus.
Thank you, I'm so excited. The Domino Squad, consisting of Fives, Echo, Droidbait, Cutup, and Heavy, are posted at the Rishi Moon listening station to monitor any Separatist activity. It's a quiet base where nothing ever happens, but this is an important base in the Outer Rim to listen for invasion of the enemy. Commander Cody and Captain Rex are performing inspections among various bases in the Outer Rim. The Rishi station is next for them. A meteor shower strikes the Rishi station, but the shields protect the base. Little do the clones know, it's actually General Grievous's troops landing nearby on the moon. The new commander droids have arrived. Taking out the sentry on the dock, the commander droids invade the base, killing Sergeant O'Niner. The Domino Squad realizes they are on their own. They flee through the vents. The droids turn on the all-clear signal to show there's no trouble at the base. Rex and Cody call ahead their arrival to the Rishi base to say that they're almost there. The commando droids impersonate a clone, saying that they don't need an inspection. Rex automatically knows that something is wrong, and Cody puts him in charge of the mission. This is a loaded episode, by the way. Like, that was, like, the first 3 minutes.
Yes. This one, and, you know, we were used to this story being spread out over three. This one gets it all in a half an hour, and oh boy, a lot happens in this.
Oh my god, I have so many notes from this, so it might be good if you go first.
I love that we got Greenhorn clones. You know, they're all fresh face. They look a lot alike. You know, they haven't built the. They are definitely getting personalities, but they're less so in a. You know, they're less trained. They've seen less at. They're trained, but they've seen less action. They're bored. They're listening to Grandmaster Flash, the message.
Yeah.
For some reason, I'm listening to it. I'm like, why is this familiar? It's like Grandmaster Flash, the message. With just the melody change, just a little bit, and no lyrics. I had to go and like find the Grandmaster Flash song, and they just match up almost perfectly. It's just it's hilarious.
Yeah, like I like the part where it's either cut up or heavy, but he was just like, ooh, meteors, space rocks.
I like the new command. It's funny. Before I knew that they were called commando droids, I wrote in my notes, I like these new commando style droids. They're a little more threatening because they've got deeper voices. Mm-hmm. They look a little more solid and mean, and they're obviously the more expensive version of droids. They've got a little more intelligence and a little more. I don't know, it doesn't seem like it would be that much of an expense to make all droids have deeper voices.
I'm glad you mentioned that. Well, not about that, but it's actually a note I had for part two. But in the episode Futurette, Dave Filoni addressed several times that this is a war and the war costs money. Mm-hmm. So while the commando droids are superior to our everyday like comedic droids, like the Mow, why, Roger, Roger, they're actually way more expensive right. for the service to make. And that's why you don't see them every day.
Each commando droid is like 100, you know, just drone droids, you know.
And he was saying, like, even then the base gets taken over twice. And the second wave is all of our everyday funny droids, but they're in numbers, and that's why they are able to be so effective.
Yeah.
You have 100 of them.
You can just march them in like cannon fodder.
Mm-hmm.
But I like this. I like it immediately sets it up as the isolated, you know, the guys on the isolated base. And I thought it was going to be more about them having to... it's been so long since I originally watched this. I'm like, oh yeah, that it's probably going to be about these guys earning their chops, and it is about them earning their chops. But I forgot that Rex and Cody show up also. So And when that happened, I was just like, oh boy, I know what this show is going to be like.
Did you mean that as in the episode, or, oh man, I know what Hope's going to be like this episode?
Exactly. Exactly. And just sort of behind the scenes, Hope always sends me, is way more diligent on this show than I do. I just write my notes in a notebook, but she sends me a copy of her notes. And it's all meant, you know, for me to add my notes in there, too. So her text in there is pink. And so this one I've got here, it's just, you know, you'll see the synopsis for each part of it. And then you'll see a little section of pink here. It's just like scroll.
Oh, pink. Well, pink's my favorite color. I just don't wear it because it doesn't look good on me.
Yeah, you know, you're going to have words like, oh my God, showing up in it and stuff like that.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I can't defend that. As I said, this is the most notes I wrote for an episode since we did the hour and a half long movie.
Yeah, exactly. This is just a regular, you know, 22-minute episode or whatever.
Well, it's good. There's a lot in this episode it covers, so...
Oh yeah, yeah.
So, did you have anything else, or should I dive into my
walls?
Oh,
you go at it.
Okay, I'm gonna get the shallow things out of the way first before I get into the talking points. Ready?
Okay.
For one, Dee Bradley Baker is so freaking good in this episode for making all the clones sound slightly different. I think it's droid bait, but he has almost like an Irish touch to his accent. Like it's different, and like they all have slightly variations. And I remember watching like a behind the scenes of him like. He'll get a list of the clones, and he'll write beside their names, like, you know, serious, funny, angry. And that, like, that way he knows how to make each of them sound. And Dee Bradley Baker is just what makes the clones. And he's so good. And we see it again in later arcs, like Umbara and stuff like that. But, oh, Dee, sir, I bow to you. You are so good in this episode. Here we go. Let me clear my throat for the squealing. First, can I just mention that Obi-Wan knows that Cody is a good man and a good leader? Like, he already recognizes that his clone commander is good, continuing on that whole, like, Jedi-clone relationship that we mentioned in earlier episodes. And Rex is in charge! Loki fell on me. Sorry. I need to not have my pops above my laptop.
I know. They keep tumbling down on you when you get excited. And so
I know. Well,
this is the second time.
I keep moving my desk like, and because I just flailed on it. But Rex is in charge. Rex is here. Here he is in all his glory. And Cody, a commander, trusts him, a captain, a lower rank, to lead the mission. He's leading the mission! My feelings! Ah! It just shows how capable Rex is when commanders who are higher... Like, I always wonder, I was like, well, who's in charge? You know, because you have Commander Wolf of the Wolf Pack. You have Cody leading Obi-Wan's group. You have Doom later on. You have, you have all these commanders. But there's no leader of the 501st. And then I realized... Rex is the leader of the 501st. He's a captain, though. And I was like, why did he never get promoted? Like, you know, why is he not Commander Rex? But it doesn't sound as cool as Captain Rex.
Maybe he wanted to. Maybe he liked it being there in the you know, at that rank. Maybe he got a little more action that way.
That is, well, Cody got plenty of action too.
That's true.
And so did Wolf and Doom and Thorn and all of them. I love clones.
Don't worry, Hope. Someday we'll have our own clone army for you. We'll once they get cloning down and we become a rich network with an underground network of cloning labs, we'll send you to all the conventions and pay the extra money so you get the chance to like when you get Benedict Cumberbatch's autograph, you can, you know, be obnoxious and jump up and like hug him and at the same time pull a little hair off the back of his head, bring it back. We'll clone one.
No, that'd be Michael Sacha.
Well, yeah, whoever, you know, we'll have tubes with all of them in there.
I'll finally have my harem.
If you don't want a Cumberbatch, somebody else is gonna want a Cumberbatch. You know?
Oh man, do you remember the Magic Mike episode?
Yes.
So Chris and I did an episode, God, a couple of years ago, it's been a few years, where it was like us just, it's under Hope of All Trades, I think, right? Yeah.
Yes.
if it's not under Hoopball Trade, it's under the
It might just be a general episode. Yeah, I think it was.
But it was just, like, us catching up and, like, shooting the shit and talking about our year and, like, all the movies we saw and stuff. And we ended it with Magic Mike, and we were talking about Magic Mike and stuff like that. And then we also, that's how you'll find the episode, because there's a picture of me and Chris dressed up like Magic Mike. But we were talking about the Hunger Games and all of our different Hunger Games death. And mine was, okay, this is going to be an explicit episode, guys. If the children are in the car, cover your ears. Cover their ears. This is about to be very explicit. I'm sorry now. Three, two, one. So my Hunger Games death was I would drown in the cum of my my celebrity male harem.
And oh, I that's right. That's how we ended the episode.
Yeah, and I would clone my celebrity male harem.
Oh, we're always tasteful when we get together for these episodes.
We are. I'm a classy lady. Okay, you can uncover the kids' ears now. okay, so now I'm going to actually go into the actual real talking points of not me squealing. So... one ongoing conversation that I know I'll bring up probably again is Ahsoka's age. She's 14 in this war, right? But I always feel like it's important to remember that most of the clones are only 10 years old when they start fighting. Since they double age, like they double time their age and stuff like that, like they have the mindsets of a 20-year-old, but they're only 10. And that's just crazy, like just having a bunch of 10-year-old men fighting. And that's really sad to me.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, next point.
They had probably maybe a year. Well, they're going at what, twice the age? So maybe like two or three years of just being regular little clone kids before they can read or write, you know, mm-hmm. And they probably started their training.
Yeah, and then I always just think like being 10 years old and a lot of them, like, for example, you know, we lost Cut Up and Heavy in this, and this is their first real battle, and they didn't make it. And that's mm-hmm. so sad that so many clones didn't make it. And I read a lot of, like, fan fiction for Clone Wars, and a lot of it is Rex going, like thinking about all the men he lost. And some of them are, like, brand new. And I mentioned a few episodes ago, I had read a Clone Wars novel called No Prisoners, and Rex thought about that. He's sitting with his brand new green clone troopers, and he's just looking and going... Well, I expect most of them not to come back, and this is their first mission. They're shinies. And that just really breaks my heart.
That's a realistic, just of war in general, which mm-hmm. is where this show stands out from most shows like this.
Yeah. And another point I had was, I wish there were more moments in the show where we see the clones in their downtime. I was thinking about it, and I know you haven't seen it, but there's a moment in season 6 where you get to see 79s, and it's a clone bar. It's a clone cantina. And they're all just, like, hanging out, and there's
clone Tina
there, and they're getting drunk, and they're dancing with their bad white boy dance moves. And I wish there were more moments about that, like, you know, Rex and Cody, like, playing cards, or just, like, hanging out, or just chilling. And we just don't get that a lot. And so I really appreciate the beginning of the episode where they're, you know, you have the radio playing and they're arm wrestling and Echo's like, I like to read, and just hanging out. And I wish there was more of that in this show overall. But there's just not enough time in 22 minutes.
Yeah, I was just going to say, not with this story. You have too much that has to happen.
Mm-hmm.
But that's also the fun of Star Wars, is you always just get a taste of, you know, just enough of a taste of things to let your imagination do the rest on it, you know.
And then right away at the beginning of this episode, we see that the men are genetically the same, but they're all various different personalities. Like, Cut Up is the prankster, Heavy is brash and he likes his big guns, Echo is logical and likes to read books, and even Sergeant O'Niner, you can see that he's actually older because he actually has some wrinkles and his hair is gray in some mm-hmm. spots.
Yeah.
And we even see them picking on each other. Like, they're making fun of Echo, because Echo likes to read regulation manuals. But we see that's actually what gets Echo saves the day a few times. He's like, man, I hope we don't see those space seals. And they're like, what space seals? He's like, you know, the space seals in the books. And I think it's, like, in this show, it's super important to establish it this early. And that's why I like that Rookies is this early on. And because, you know, we talked about it before, the fact that there's no clone development in the prequels, you know, it's not really that important. You know, there's no emotional impact of Order 66 happening other than the Jedi dying. And we actually see that these are men. They're all different. They all have their own personalities. And to me, that's what makes Rookies one of the most important episodes of Clone Wars in general as a series, because it sets up that storyline for the entire show.
Well, it reminds me of a comment that Scott McGregor made on Facebook about he started watching. I've been after him to watch Clone Wars, and he's like, I don't think I can get past the animation style. And I finally, that when we started doing the show, it got him to start watching it. And I can't remember where I was. Oh, he was saying, and he was watching it, and he's like, this is somehow making the prequels better.
Yeah.
And this is an example of it. You start getting Commander Cody in here, who you see him in the prequels. If you're looking for Commander Cody, you can see him, and there's the scene in episode 3 with him. But you don't really know him, he's just sort of a background character in this. It makes it all the more tragic when he starts taking shots at Obi-Wan in episode 3. So it does they do definitely enhance the prequels in a good way.
Yeah, like I know I'll probably bring it up when I talk about, I think it's the episode's called The Hidden Enemy or The Enemy Within. It's the one where Slick, the traitor clone, and it's Cody and Rex trying to find out who this traitorous clone is. But I remember I wrote about it on What the Fangirl, about how that episode was really important to me from Rex and Cody's point of view. And so we see Rex throughout the course of the show, and he's way more free-thinking than Cody. Cody is way more by the books. So that's why I struggle to see Rex in the Empire, like how we know he is from Rebels, like he served in the Empire. And I struggle with that because Cody, while he is a bit of a free-thinking clone, he was never as free-thinking as Rex. Like, he was never that unique. He was never that. He was still very by the book. So I can see Cody making that transition. And that's why it's so sad to me, though, because I know he has a relationship with Obi-Wan.
Mm-hmm.
But I can still see him participating in Order 66, where Rex flat out, I can't see it. Like, I can't fathom that. That's not how my brain works, because Rex had more of a change over time, and he had more of a journey, and he went through Umbaro, and he knows Rex, while he might follow orders, he knows the difference between right and wrong. Whereas I feel like Cody, if he was on Umbara, he would have been that dogma character, and he would have followed orders and, continued following under General Krell. Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah, totally.
Yeah, so.
That's pretty much what happened.
Yeah, so. And just as a last little side note in this first part, Grievous was talking to a spy on Kamino, and we see that it's Asajj Ventress. And this is a setup for a season, I think it's a season 3 episode, where they invade Kamino. But it wasn't until much later, it wasn't until season 3, the very first episode, which was Clone Cadets, that I realized that Clone Wars does not air in chronological order. Because I remember Clone Cadets is the first episode of season 3, and I was like, how is Heavy here? Heavy died in Rookies. Spoiler for the rest of the episode. Heavy dies in Rookies, and I'm like, how is he here? And that's when I realized it comes out of order. I never quite understood why they aired the episodes out of order. I guess it's just for general flow, or certain themes of the episodes and stuff like that.
Yeah, that's the only thing I can, that they wanted there to be some sort of flow for some reason. Otherwise, why not do it? Maybe they were like, if we did it in chronological order, there'd be too many clone. Maybe when they did that, there were too many clone episodes in a row, or too many just Obi-Wan and Anakin episodes in a row or something, and they wanted to break it up.
Yeah, because I forgot who it was exactly, but they were asking if we were going to air this in chronological order, and I was like, well, no, because we've already done the movie, and Cat and Mouse from season 3 comes before the movie. And then I was like, well, would Cat and Mouse be a good first episode? And it's a fun episode, and you get to see a lot of Obi-Wan and Anakin in action and stuff like that. But I feel like you're missing some of those other, Clone Wars elements, like Ahsoka and Cad Bane, stuff like that. So I can see, and I know when Cad Bane comes in, the final episodes of season 1 is introducing Cad Bane, and then the theme of season 2 was Rise of the Bounty Hunters. And so there was a lot of bounty hunters to that episode. So even though the episodes are really out of order in season 2 chronologically, and a lot of them have that bounty hunter theme. And so that's what I feel that they were going for.
I like that they did that with the bounty hunters too, because it also, that worked forward into Empire, and made it make a lot more sense when Vader, you know, gathers a bunch of bounty hunters to go after Han Solo, because that's just what the Empire does. You know, you start learning about that you have these, you know, the beginnings of the use of groups of bounty hunters for it's not the, you know, the bad guys to get their aim. So, and bounty hunters are way more interesting character than soldiers in a lot of ways, or potentially, you know?
Yeah. And like, and also we get to see the rise of Boba Fett, which was also super cool.
Yeah.
So that's all I had for part one. It took long enough.
That wasn't bad. I think you controlled yourself rather well.
Thank you. It's just gonna get worse.
I was just gonna say, but stuff hasn't really started happening yet, so the shots haven't been fired really yet.
Mm-hmm.
So
did you have anything else for Act One?
The only other thing I had for Act One is I liked the sort of mirror image of the Han Solo scene from Episode 4 with you know, we're fine here. How are you? Except with the droids, the clones just trying to pass off that everything's okay on the clone base.
I love that scene in the Robot Chicken special where he's like, "Who's there? Billy? Billy, you're right here. Who's down there?" Vader, did we authorize like a latte machine to be there? I don't know. Let me call my assistant. Boring conversation. Anyway, so Act Two. Okay, I swear this is actually how my notes are written. The Domino Squad makes it outside to the rock ledges around the base. They're a bit lost of what to do with Sergeant O'Niner dead. Right away, Cut Up is eaten by a space eel. Then they see the inspection team landing on the docks. Cody and Rex don't realize they're already surrounded by commando droids as a clone comes out to the docks to meet them. Just as the clone says, "Roger, Roger," a flare is shot from the ledges below. Rex turns and shoots the clone in the head, seeing it's one of the new commando droids. They're suddenly ambushed by the droids hiding on the dock. The enemy blows up Rex and Cody's ship with a pair of grenades, but they don't see the clones anymore, figuring they were killed in the blast. But laying down on the cords to the cliffs below, Rex and Cody see a group of clones come up. They demand for the group to remove their helmets since they were just ambushed. It's the Domino Squad, or what's left of them. Rex easily kills another space eel in a single sexy shot. That's how I wrote in my notes, kids.
I'll attest to that. I'm looking at it now.
He tells them that they're all shinies, meaning they haven't seen much battle. The Domino Squad is shiny and new, just like their armor. Heavy wants to take back the post, and Rex flashes a rare and handsome smile that there's still hope for them yet. Coming up with a plan, Rex impersonates a droid to get by the blast doors. Happy feelings! Rex is so sexy, figuring out the fake droid clone was a commander droid, and then he shoots it in the head, and my fangirl uterus
yeah, quivered. The eel got Rexed.
Oh, I got Rexed! Oh,
Rexed
God.
Rexed out of existence.
Okay, I have my last note of this section was, I love this entire sequence with Rex. Him badassly going, Roger, Roger, before shooting the droids, commanding that he's always first into battle, and ripping the head off a commando droid. Ugh, my uterus. So what did you think about this scene?
Well, I'm so thick. And this prior reference won't mean anything to you because it's it shouldn't mean anything to me, but it was I believe like a old movie serial, and then it was the name of a band, but it was Commander Cody and the Lost Planet Airmen, and they had headpieces very much like Flash Gordon, sort of like the clones have the little wings on top of their helmets. And this was, I should have figured this out by, you know, in the prequels, but the Commander Cody is probably a tribute to Commander Cody and the Lost Planet Airmen in costume and in name. And I just figured it out in this episode.
That wouldn't surprise me, because later, I think it's season 6, we get Commander Doom. And the makers of Clone Wars were really big Marvel fans. And so Commander Doom is designed to look like Dr. Doom from the Fantastic Four.
Ooh.
Yeah, he looks super cool, and he's super serious. He's just like, we must do this battle. And they're like, okay, simmer down. So, yeah, so that actually wouldn't surprise me if that was what they were doing.
My only other notes is, this is the second time this is the first time and we'll have to wait till, Rebels, but we do get to see Rex versus basically a sandworm from Dune.
Yeah.
And later in Rebels, there's a sort of similar sort of creature. And I think there's almost there's no reason really for Anakin and Obi-Wan to be in this episode.
Yeah,
they sort of like give some orders and say some things, but somebody else could have done that, you know.
At the very, very end is when they actually do anything, but every time they come up, they're just like, "Have you heard from Rex and Cody?"
Yeah, okay. Really, you didn't need them in the. I think they thought that, you know, well, we just got to have them show their faces or whatever, but you really didn't need them at all for the story in this episode.
Though
you could have just fit some more clones in there in the probably combined minute and a half that Anakin and Obi-Wan are in this episode anyway.
Though I do love how Rex and Cody mirror Anakin and Obi-Wan, because, yeah, like, Cody doubts Rex's crazy plan. Like, he's just like, this plan's not gonna work, this is dumb, and then it works. And it's the same way, like, Obi-Wan, like we saw last episode, fretting over Anakin's mm-hmm. plans. Like, mm-hmm. oh, this isn't gonna work, this is too crazy, I'm sassy. So, like, you know, I really love that they mirror each other in that aspect. Like, we constantly see, like, Rex will leave his post to go help Anakin, and it actually will save Anakin's life, and he's constantly bending the rules, just like Anakin.
Yes.
But like I said, Cody is much more by the book, so he tends to be like the Obi-Wan, and I like that their clone commanders and captains mirror them in that aspect. Because we see Obi-Wan going, well, maybe Rex did something crazy, and Anakin's like, well, maybe Cody bored him to death.
Exactly.
So that was like one scene I was really happy that we had, because I really like that scene, just to have Anakin going, you're boring. I'm 12. Oh. Oh, I forgot I had another note of this episode is when I fell in love with Rex. This was the episode I fell in love with Rex and what gave me my love affair with a cartoon character. Because he's so suave and he's calm and he's just a badass and I want him in my life. So I'm not the only one, though, because like I do instant reactions to Star Wars Rebels when they're on, and they're just like little GIF reactions throughout my Tumblr. It's just for fun. And like when Rex showed up at the beginning of season 2, I was just like, my animated husband is back. And I had 3 people just like message me on Tumblr, goes,
ready to fight?
Yeah, they were like, Rex is my animated husband. I was like, whoa, simmer down there. He's a cartoon. It's not like it's Michael Sacha where I could meet him in real life and cry. He's a cartoon, man. Like, even I have limits. But they were just like, you can never say that he's your animated husband. And I was just like, okay.
The best you can do is meet a voice actor, actually, in real life, I guess.
Actually, I would love to meet Dee Bradley Baker, just because Dee Bradley Baker, and I saw it on Twitter, like, they he was given a congratulations because he had something like, it was either 12 or like 1,500 voices, and pretty much if you watched a cartoon, Dee Bradley Baker has done a voice.
Now,
like all the monsters in Ben 10, he's in Legend of Korra, he's in Avatar The Last Airbender, like, so I would just walk up and be like, can you do every voice ever? Like, can you do Appa and Momo and then do all the clones? And then can you do some Ben 10 monsters for me? And like, if you've seen a cartoon, like, Dee Bradley Baker was probably in it at some point.
Is he doing Rex in Rebels too?
Yep, and Gregor and Wolf, like, he did that too. He was talking, I saw a featurette about it, and he was talking about how it was kind of a challenge a little bit, especially for Gregor. Like, Gregor was the one that was the biggest challenge. And you haven't seen season 5, so you haven't even met Gregor.
Right.
So that was your first time seeing Gregor.
Yes.
So it was a challenge for him, especially because he didn't want to make Gregor too crazy. But I won't tell you why, but there's a reason Gregor's like that. But he also had to, like, age Wolf and, like, age Rex. And I actually like that he's made Rex more comical. Like, he's just the crazy uncle.
Yeah.
Like, the scene in Stealth Strike when Kanan was like, Ezra, you shot us. He's like, yeah, and you should have killed us. Ha ha ha. Like, Rex is just constantly cracking me up. And I love that he's just this crazy old man now. He's my favorite. I cry every time he's on screen.
Well, he's had, you know, he's had some time to relax and be his own person, you know, finally.
Yeah, and both Dave and Dee were talking about that too, about like how the one thing they really wanted to do is just like show these old clones just retiring, and what do they do in retirement? They fish. They just fish for space worms.
Yeah, I would see that. I would see a character like basically you're going back to Jango Fett, and Jango Fett's like, I mean, he became an evil bounty hunter or whatever, but you know, usually. Whatever circumstances led to that, he was probably had the adventurer gene in him, you know? So they're all basically, I guess they sort of, I always picture, and maybe it's me being stereotypical on Australians, but I picture them being that, you know, that Australian Crocodile Dundee style outbacker, you know, outdoorsman type person. So they've just got that built into their genetics of being practical and stuff. But like the people I know like that, like, you know, retired Marines and stuff. Yeah, they retire and they go fishing, mm-hmm. fishing and camping. You know, these guys have it even better. They just, you know, I mean, they're on the desert, but they basically are just like they got their boat to live in and fish to fish. And that's all they need.
Oh, I can't wait till we get that, like 3 years from now when we get to that episode. Yeah. I can't wait. Though I will say on that note, I thought it was really sweet that Ashley Eckstein, who is the voice of Ahsoka, she was saying in an interview, like with her and Dee Bradley Baker, when Clone Wars ended, they never thought that they would ever come back. You know, they didn't know they were way back in Rebels. They didn't find that out until later. And so, for one, there's a great picture of them at Celebration when they announced that both Ashley and revealed that Rex was coming back, you know, because we didn't know until Celebration, which I cannot watch that
Did
video.
Did they not know right until that announcement? Were they also not in on it?
Well, they had, like, they didn't know until they were making Season 2. So all throughout Star Wars Rebels, like, I think Ashley knew because she showed up in the last episode, but she didn't even find out, I think, until later into Season 1. But I don't think that Dee Bradley Baker knew that he was coming back as Rex.
Well, I mean, would he even know that he was cut? Like, they announced that their characters are back, but it would be like, you wouldn't know till you get that call from your agent, you know, saying, yeah, they just called up and said that, you know, find out if you want to do that again. And at the same time, both of those guys, I don't know if they did it or not, but they could think, maybe it's time for a raise.
Yeah, but like there's a really cute picture from Celebration of when Ashley comes out on stage, Dee is already on stage, and they salute each other. It's really sweet. But where I was going was Ashley didn't know that she was coming back, neither did Dee. And so now that they're doing Rebels again together, she was saying that she gets in trouble a lot with Dave Filoni because she's just so happy that her and Dee are recording together for the first time in years. Like, you know, it's been like 5 years that she'll just sometimes just start crying in the middle of takes. And they have to like constantly stop and like let her cry because she's just so happy to be recording again with Dee Bradley Baker.
Well, you know about Dee, right?
No.
Dee's nuts.
Aww. You ruined my sweet story.
I've been waiting so long to have an opening for that horrible joke.
Okay, I'll give you that one.
I've been waiting at work. That one would slay at work.
We're so classy.
I've been waiting, like, thinking maybe someday we'll, like, I'll be talking about E.T. and somebody would have to mention Dee Wallace or somebody would mention Twisted Sister. We could talk about Dee Snider, but nope. It was on the Clone Wars show that my opportunity arose. I'd like to apologize to everybody, but I had to do it for my own.
That's your one.
Yeah, thank you.
You're welcome. But the only other note I had from this is Rex mentioned that in other battles it went better because they had a Jedi with them. But I actually really love Jedi Light episodes because, like, why I love all the Jedi and everything, sometimes they're on such a higher skill set.
Yes.
That it can be a little bit Deus Ex Machina when they show up. Like, oh my God, shit's going down. Everything's on fire. And then the Jedi show up and they're like, yay, everything is saved.
It looks neat when the Jedi are, you know, it's cool when the Jedi are doing all their Jedi stuff. But especially this stuck in between episodes 2 and 3, where you know, pretty much none of those Jedi are going to be dead. When the Jedi show up, it's exactly what you said. They're a plot element to come in and clean up everything.
Yeah.
So I'd rather see the clones have to figure out stuff on their own. And
there's like later episodes. Like there's several episodes where Padme's on her own. There's a great episode where Bail Organa and Padme team up, and it's just them. Like there's no Anakin, no nothing. It's just Bail and Padme. And so I really love these episodes where I love Jedi Light episodes because I feel like it brings something new.
Well, I think it's really important for any sense of drama and tension in this stuff to not have, you know, to play back on those characters that have the extreme superpowers of Jedi, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So that's why we ended up with so many non-Jedi characters in this, to the show's benefit.
Yeah. And especially when we get, fuck, that's season 5! Chris, watch the show!
See, the thing is, I won't be able to just go skip ahead to season 5. I'll have to just, like, ramp up my Clone Wars watching, which is cool because I can sit and, well, the thing about it is if I start ramping it up and like taking notes on it, by the time we get, you know, if I start going way ahead, by the time we get to that show and I look at my notes, I'll be like, I won't even remember writing that stuff.
Yeah, I just rewatch them.
I would end up just rewatching them.
I want to tell you stuff. I can't. ready for the final act?
I am ready.
All right. Storming the base, a fight breaks out between our clones and the droids. They quickly retake the main room from the droids. They see a full-scale Separatist invasion fleet invading the system. Grievous sends down a battalion reinforcements to investigate his missing commando droids. Realizing they can't stop an entire fleet, Rex decides to blow up the base to stop the hot-wired all-clear signal from transmitting to tell the Republic that something is wrong. He gives a moving speech that the only target nearby is Kamino. They're not fighting for the Republic anymore. They're fighting to protect their brothers back home. Cody with two other clones works to distract the droid while Rex sets up the detonators. But the systems aren't linking up. Heavy stays behind to fix it while the others get a head start. The remote is still not working. He realizes that he has to detonate it manually, but he engages in a fight with the droids getting injured. At the last moment, he detonates the base, dying in the blast. Echo adds that Heavy always hated that place. With an all-clear signal not transmitting anymore, Obi-Wan and Anakin realize there's something wrong. They arrive to chase off Grievous. There's your Deus Ex Machina Jedi. Rex, Cody, and the Domino Squad are rescued by the Republic. Obi-Wan and Anakin honor Fives and Echoes for their service, and Rex welcomes them into the 501st Legion.
Well, from the early theme of the first couple episodes of this and the movie, this is another episode where they've gone on to humanize the clones. I mean, to the point of where a clone actually makes a sacrifice in this one, you know, sacrifices himself for the cause, which they do when they march into battle too. But this was a you know.
And Heavy was the one that was focused most on the Domino Squad. I think he talks the most, and he's also the Joker one. He's like, I have the big gun. Like, I feel like they focused on him very heavy, just so when he does die, it makes him so much more impactful because you know it's Heavy.
And it didn't seem like a big deal at first when I saw it, but then I realized it was kind of a big deal. They get medals at the end. That's another, you know, that's not just a recognition of their heroism. It's almost on some level a recognition of their individuality and, you know, humanity or whatever you call it in Star Wars universe. But, you know, it's singling them out from, as you know, having done something or, you know, represented something a little above the rest of them, you know. So
And like there's a really nice moment, like right before Heavy detonates the base, there's a heartbeat sound effect. Like, did you notice that?
Yes.
Yeah, there's like a great heartbeat sound effect, and it was a very nice touch.
Another humanizing thing.
Yeah, it was a huge humanizing moment because they're fighting machines, and you see that Heavy dies a hero to protect his brothers. Like, you know, it's just, yeah, I mean, that's such a nice moment. And it comes up again in like season 3 when the invasion of Kamino, because we meet like 99s and Echo, it was either Fives or Echoes, but one of them gives 99 Heavy's medal. He's like, I want you to have this. Heavy would want you to have this.
Heavy metal.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's such a nice moment. It was a great touch to have that heartbeat sound effect.
It's just bringing us back to our first episode, it's this, all this conversation that we're having in these early episodes is basically, I just realized it's like the formation of what it was that got you on the network in the first place. We're talking about all the stuff that led up to that question at Dragon Con.
Yeah, because the clones is what I cared about.
This is,
you know?
All these are sort of leading, you know, setting the groundwork for those issues.
And did you have any notes from this section?
No, just mostly about the humanization of the clones, and that, you know, a clone character gets to make a sacrifice, and that, you know, they're honored at the end of it, and one of them's actually promoted, or I don't, yeah, I guess it's a promotion into the 501st.
Yeah, and the only other note I have is while he doesn't really do a lot in this episode, Fives is a character to watch for the entire series. Rex might be my favorite clone, but his story kind of plateaus in season 4 with Umbara. But Fives, though, has a complete story from beginning to middle to end. Like, we see his training days. We see him all the way through season 6, where he plays a big role. I mean, like, so he is, like, one of the most fascinating characters in the entire Clone Wars series. Listeners, do not spoil it for Chris Y. But, like, so Chris, this is for you. You just need to take a, like, watch out for Fives, because every time he comes in, he brings something new to the table, and they really push his character more than they push Rex, more than they push any other clones. Like, he makes the biggest development of any clone character for the entire show.
Interesting.
Yeah, Fives is a huge character, especially way later in the series. Like, he is a big one, and he is so good. And I Rex is my favorite, but Fives has the better story, like, overarching story.
Yeah,
and like a little Five tattoo on the side of his head. Oh, Fives. So, what did you think about the episode as a whole?
I thoroughly enjoyed it. It's action-packed. They just get a lot done in it as far as, like, you know, character. I mean, it's a sketch, but still, you learn about all these characters in this short amount of time. You have this story, and you even have it framed in, you know, the larger Grievous versus the Jedi story. And it just, by packing all that stuff in, it becomes very Star Warsy, because it's just got to move right along. And I like it also because it's a very moody episode. You know, it's got, I mean, that planet is, I don't think there's any daylight there, is there? It's all,
no.
It's always just sort of dark nighttime. And it's got a very, you know, it's got that isolated feel of it, of, you know, they're sort of stuck in one little spot on a lifeless, it's not lifeless, but it's just a hostile, you know, planet, and the boredom of just sitting there until something happens, and then all hell breaks loose.
Yeah. We didn't mention that, but it also has its own kind of space manta rays. Like, you see them for a moment, like, when the docks sergeant is, like, looking through his, like, scopes before he sees the commando droids, but you see, like, little space whales flying, and of course it has the eels.
Just one of those little Star Wars touches around the edges, little details.
Well, for me, this is an action-packed episode from beginning to end.
Of course.
Still, to this day, one of my absolute favorite episodes of Clone Wars. A lot of times, if I feel like watching Clone Wars, this is probably one of the 5 episodes I choose, because I just love this episode. If people don't know where to start with Clone Wars, I'll suggest Rookies, because it's a really good one-off that you get a lot of Star Warsy things. You know, we get to see free-thinking clones on their own with Rex and Cody, and you get to see the development of the Domino Squad moving through the ranks, especially with Fives and Echoes. And being one of my absolute favorite episodes of all time, I give it a 9 out of 10. Like, very few episodes are higher on my list, and, like, those are, like, the Umbara arc. I promise you, Umbara is going to be perfect 10s all the way through.
That is
my favorite arc of all time. That's why I keep referencing it.
I think Clone Wars, just in general, sort of goes on an upward arc. So, like, the further along you get, the better it gets. And I really like this episode, but I still like the last episode a little better. So this one's an 8 out of 10 for me, but it's still a great episode. But the last one's still my favorite of the 5 episodes we've had so far.
Yeah. Well, Chris, where can people find you?
TrueTrueFreaks.com, as always, where we have an Amazon link. And we have just millions of podcasts, and now 1,000,001 podcasts, because we just added J Guys and Jedis. Mm-hmm. And everything. We got Star Wars over there, of course. We've got Star Trek. We've got people talking about all just an amazingly diverse bunch of comics podcasts, from stuff that's really, you know, timely and popular to some very, you know, some niche stuff. So come on out over to Two True Freaks and check it out.
And you can find both of us on Twitter at JGuys and Jedi, and you can find me at Hope Molinex. And I also write Clone Wars reviews for whatthefangirl.com. And yeah, I'm that's what I do. It's my other job. So yeah.
I'm planning on one of these days on following our Twitter, you know, trying to interact with our Twitter feed as my introduction to Twitter. I've never tweeted or anything like that before.
Oh, since I converted it from one of my... Because I just took one of my old Twitter accounts and just...
Turned it to J-Guys and Jedis.
And as I was looking through, like, all the followers, I only had about 70 followers. You're one of them.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I guess I must have signed up for a Tumblr account...
A long time ago
and never used it or something.
Yeah, like, because you have a Twitter account, huh? Because I saw it, I was like, hey, it's Chris.
Never used it, yeah. And I mean, it must be old.
I'll send it to you.
I guess I'll have to try out some old passwords and old email addresses to see if I can sign on to it. Then I could actually use it.
And we are actually now, as of recording this, we didn't say this earlier, but we're on iTunes now.
Oh, yes. Yep. By now, everything's all set up.
So send us a review. Let us know what you think. If you rate us on iTunes, it helps people find us.
Yes.
So just drop us a nice review and we'll read your review on the show. Let's do that.
Okay.
Though, as of right now, since we're going bi-weekly and we're so far ahead, if you write a review, it might take a couple episodes for us to hear it, to read it.
Yeah, but just hang on. It'll show up.
It will. So, well, that's it for me. Do you have anything else, Chris?
No, that's it for me.
Well,
go take a cold shower and relax for the rest of the night.
Yeah, well, until next time, may the Rexy selves be with you. Always! Rex! 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 Rex and Michael Sokka, but Rex! Yay.
If you shop at Amazon.com, please consider using the link at TwoTrueFreaks.com to shop there. If you use this link to go to Amazon and then you shop, Two True Freaks gets a little cut of what you buy and it doesn't cost you anything extra. So you get to shop as usual and help out the Two True Freaks at the same time.
Visit our website at TwoTrueFreaks.com. Two True Freaks is always spelled T-W-O. TrueFreaks.
You can email Two True Freaks directly at TwoTrueFreaks@gmail.com.
Two True Freaks and all of its excellent affiliates are available on iTunes, and you can choose to subscribe to either the entire network if you wish, or pick whichever individual shows you want to follow. We have so many shows to choose from, there's just bound to be one that appeals to your particular fandom. Just search Two True Freaks with an exclamation mark at the end, space, and the number 2.
You can find Two True Freaks on Facebook. Just search for Two True Freaks. If you ever leave your house and you actually have friends, why don't you tell them about Two True Freaks?
If you've enjoyed our show, please, won't you take a moment to rate us on iTunes? That helps others find the show too.
Thanks for listening.
And join us every Monday for new episodes of
Two True Freaks.
And this is your Uncle Don saying good night.
Good night, little kids. Good night.
We're off.
Good. Well, that ought to hold the little bastards.